This episode is made possible by StackAdapt. Need digital creatives fast and don't have time or resources to hire a design team? Don't worry, we've got you. With StackAdapt, you can build captivating creatives to take your brand from your idea bank to your audience. The creative builder in StackAdapt will save you time, cut costs, and simplify your creative workflow. Learn more at go.stackadapt.com/creativebuilder.
It's not something that is going to allow them to really take that much market share away from the bigger players over the next few years. So, you know, in some ways, if you're following them, you have to think that their goal is to grow faster than these other platforms that are about as old as they are. And that's an uphill battle for them.
Hey, gang, it's Thursday, February 15th. Minda, Jeremy, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by StackAdapt. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two people. We start by introducing one of our senior analysts covering everything social media based in New York. It's Minda Smiley. I think that's right.
Hello. That is right.
Yes. We're also joined by our senior director of briefings. He's definitely based in New York. It's Jeremy Goldman.
Hey, Marcus. Congrats on us both surviving Valentine's Day.
Both surviving?
It's just a day where you can get in trouble with people saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. So we got through.
This is like when people say, you take care out there. And I'm like, every time someone says that to me, when I'm like leaving a restaurant or a coffee shop, I'm always like, why? What's out there? And I immediately think dinosaurs. I swear this is dead true. I hate when people say that. Take care. You be safe out there.
What neighborhood is this? Yeah.
I know. All of them. I don't know where the dinosaurs are at. Anyway, today's fact is the word... All right, this isn't... I'm quite impressed by this one. If no one else is, I don't care because I think it's great. The word suns upside down is suns.
If this was a video podcast, if anybody saw what I just did with my hand to try to be like, is this true what Marcus is telling me? I think it's actually...
How good is that fact? Is it good or not good?
Okay, so S-O-N-S.
Suns. No. Sun. Like the sun in the sky. Like the star. The sun that the...
S-U-N-S.
S-U-N-S, yep.
But technically it has to do with like what font you use, right? Because if you use the wrong font, then you might draw the N and the U differently.
Crying out loud. Sorry. All right, never mind. No, it's fine. Don't worry. Because I thought that it wasn't going to go well, which it hasn't, I brought a few facts about the sun to save the day. So, one, the sun orbits the Milky Way at 500,000 miles per hour. Despite that speed, it still takes the sun 225 million Earth years for the sun to orbit once around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Two more for you, in case you weren't impressed by that. Tough crowd. Light from the sun takes 8 minutes to reach Earth. So the light you're getting is 8 minutes old. And then three, the surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, or 5,500 degrees Celsius, also known... It's too hot. Impressed yet? Okay, fine.
Yes, that was a lot.
Feel very genuine, Minda, but I appreciate the effort.
I think I've heard the 8 minute one.
I think I knew
Oh, come on. Yeah. Not on this
that
show.
One I think
the
8 minute,
but the other.
Oh my God, we're recycling material. We must move on. Today's
not on this show.
Real topic.
We heard it on the
Thank
lesser
goodness.
Show, for sure.
Yeah.
Probably. We're talking about Snap, of course. In today's episode, first in the lead, we'll cover Snapchat things. No other news today. Let's get on with it, folks. So we'll talk about how many people use the platform, how much money it's making, but we have to start with some recent headlines, like the one from Jacob Castronakis of The Verge explaining that Snap is cutting 10% of its staff. Jeremy, I'll start with you. What's your takeaway on this announcement?
You know, there are a few things here, but I think one of them is clearly that this is just essentially... You know, the cost of doing business right now as a public company is you need to show that you're being efficient with cutting back and then reinvesting in a few other areas. This is something that, you know, a number of key players did, most notably Google this year. But we're seeing a lot of, you hear we cut back on human personnel and then we're throwing this money back into R&D. It's very difficult if you're Snap and you don't try to kind of echo that message to some degree. And some of it obviously has to do with their slowing growth in relation to what other players, particularly Meta, are able to provide.
Yeah. Jasmine, who covers social media for us as well, had a great quote. which I'll cite here. Snap is likely trying to garner some goodwill with investors who rewarded its competitor, Meta, for its cost-cutting measures and its continued do more with less mantra going into 2024. This is probably an important move for the company because they haven't made money almost ever. They lost another $250 million in Q4. From what I understand, they went back in their records, and it seems as though the company has only been profitable for one quarter. I think that was Q4 of 2021. They made $23 million. So they need to find ways to not only make money, but yeah, keep investors happy. Minda, they've been doing this for a little while though, right? I mean, Snap, they cut staff 20% in 2022, 3% last year. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Jeremy's take. I mean, the one thing that I thought was somewhat interesting was when I was reading through some of the coverage, I did see that they had mentioned that the layoffs were due partly to, you know, foster more in-person collaboration, which, you know, I think is like jargon for like, mm-hmm. we want people back in the office. Mm-hmm. And I don't know like to what extent remote workers were impacted by this round specifically, I do know that from what I've seen, they have been a little stricter lately about their return to office mandates and getting people back in. And so I do wonder to what extent, you know, people that work remotely will be impacted in the future by this sort of attitude, I guess.
Yeah. So good question. Let's look at how they have been performing. So Q4 last year, Snap made $1.4 billion in worldwide ad revenues. That's up 5%. That's an improvement on the 0% growth from the previous Q4. So it's time to play a newly renamed slice of pie, formerly Blame Pie. Minda, I'll start with you. Could you please create a pie chart as to the reasons why Snap grew ad revenue 5% in Q4?
I would say the first part of the pie is just broadly, economically, we're doing better. And I think a lot of the big tech companies have been benefiting from that. So I think, you know, I think part of it is less about the actual business and more about just advertisers spending more money because of the economy.
Mm-hmm. How big is that piece?
I would say 40%.
Okay, a solid 40.
It's definitely not a small part of it.
Okay, large minority, yep.
I would say they did mention in their earnings that they've had more luck with small to medium-sized advertisers. I think, mm-hmm. what was the exact stat? Saying that they've seen this number of small to medium-sized advertisers grow 20% year over year. So, I mean, I would say that's, we'll say 30%, okay. maybe due to just the new advertisers coming in, giving them some more revenue. And then the rest, I would say, has to do with just like the ad products themselves. I think we all, you know, we've kind of heard over the past few years they're trying to invest in their advertising business and grow it. And that's a mix of things. We're seeing direct response advertising be a core part of their business that they're really trying to kind of boost. They're putting ads in their AI chatbot, My AI. I think it's like sponsored links. And there are a few other formats, but I would just say like generally they are investing more in their advertising formats. And I think we're starting to see that pay off a little bit. So,
okay. Jeremy, what does your pie chart look like?
You know, I really think maybe close to 85% of it is the market generally just doing better, you know, and maybe 15%. And I know I'm really simplifying this here, but 15% of it is kind of directly, credit that you can give to Snap from an innovation standpoint. Because frankly, there are a few things that they've tried to do, like have a, you know, enterprise augmented reality division, which, you know, I think you covered on the pod at one point, you know, they shut down. And the, a lot of the things that they want to do, I don't want to say like they haven't worked, like they have a kind of clear mission about like, this is, you know, a nice place to have a strong messaging experience, feel a little bit better about your social media experience, but they don't have enough monetizable surface areas to get most people's ad dollars. You know, that's arguably why they might be doing a little bit better with small and mid-sized businesses. So I think ultimately it's like they're getting the dollars that are left over from the people who want to diversify their spend, as opposed to just trying to be like, they're never going to be really right now the primary place that you're parking your ad dollars. You're going to Google and Meta for that, and then to some extent for some products, definitely Amazon.
Yeah. So 5% growth in ad revenue in Q4. If you look at North America, there's a bright spot that grew 13%, huge turnaround from negative 14 last Q4. Rest of world underperformed. So that's what dragged it down, going from 28% to 11% over that time. Average revenue per user also down 5 points year on year. Let's look at how many people are using the platform at the moment. Snapchat crossed the 400 million worldwide user mark in Q3. They reached 414 million in Q4. Jeremy, how should we view Snapchat's total user count at this point?
I mean, it's okay. It's I don't want to be too down about it. So, I mean, I think that when we're talking about, is this a strong number? A lot of the key thing has to do with, you know, user growth and are they attracting an entirely different user base? And I think they're doing a solid job to maybe even strong job at loyalizing people who are using the platform from a messaging perspective. From an acquisition standpoint, you know, if you look at their overall user growth, you know, it's not something that is going to allow them to really take that much market share away from the bigger players over the next few years. So, you know, in some ways, if you're following them, you have to think that their goal is to grow faster than these other platforms that are about as old as they are. And that's an uphill battle for them.
Yeah, you mentioned them attracting a different user base. I noticed that they're a much more international audience than they once were. 2019, a quarter of its users came from the rest of the world. And today it's half. North American users have been stuck at about 100 million for the last year and a half. So that's changing the makeup of its audience. Minda, what do you make of just over 400 million Snapchat users?
Yeah, it didn't super surprise me. I mean, I was looking at like their past six quarters and they've kind of reported similar growth. It's usually somewhere in the double digits. So, I mean, you know, they've seen like a steady pace of growth. But to Jeremy's point, it's, I mean, when you compare it to some of the bigger platforms, it's, you know, they're certainly not nearly as big as a Meta. And like you were saying, I mean, I think most of these gains are from outside of the US and Europe. So it's markets for them that are a bit newer.
Yeah.
And so that's worth noting as well.
The gains are also slowing down. They added fewer, when you look year by year, they added fewer users than before. So Snapchat has added close to 50 million new users in 2020, 2021, and 2022. But 2023, they added just under 40 million new users. So that's not a great trend.
And by the way, Marcus, I was just going to say, in terms of our forecast, by the way, we've got them at about, for users worldwide, we've got them at 5.8% this year, and then 4.7% next year, and then 3.8% the next 2 years. So, you know, we are kind of expecting slower growth from all indicators on our end.
Okay, so that trend we expect to continue. That's interesting.
Oh, and it also, they did point out on their earnings that the average revenue per user fell 5% year over year. So
yeah, also going in the wrong direction. Let's end by talking about Snapchat Plus. That's their paid subscription. It's got extra features. It's hit 7 million subscribers less than a year and a half after it launched. Minda, what does this 7 million Snapchat Plus subscribers mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely growth. They're showing growth. I think it's, again, it's like 7 million is kind of a drop in the bucket when you look at the larger user figures. But I still think it's a worthwhile thing for them to be investing in. I mean, we're seeing this larger trend across all the social platforms of investing in subscription-based offerings. They all look quite different. But like, I think the fact that Snap is doing this is wise. And they, again, like I said, they're seeing growth. It's being monetized. So, I mean, you know, it's... Again, I would say it didn't really strike me as like a huge figure, but it is showing that they are slowly but surely gaining some kind of little fan base, I guess you could say, for the product.
Yeah. I love this story. And I think that the challenge is the fact that, revenue diversification, Minda is totally right. Like, we're seeing a lot more of that. I think the tricky thing is when you look to see exactly how much money they're making off of that Snapchat Plus user base. And then you try to say, well, how easy will it be for them to grow that and to have that be a meaningful percentage of the overall pie? That's pretty difficult. And if you, this is one hypothesis that I've had for a while, which is it happens to be the youngest skewing platform and it happens to be doing the best with, in terms of subscriptions. You know, I think that mom and dad are footing a lot of Snapchat Plus bills out there. So Snap, if you're listening, we're very happy to get data from you on this to refute this hypothesis. But, I think it certainly does make sense. And that does kind of ask the question, well, then how easy will it be for them to, you know, double this number, triple this number in the name of revenue diversification? I think it might be challenging.
Yeah. Currently $4 a month. Will that go up? Snap said that they hope to double Snapchat Plus subscribers this year from its current 7 million. That's just their goal. It's not a promise by any stretch. But that number is small, but it is picking up a bit. They added 2 million since September of last year. So that's suggesting that subscriber growth has picked up a little bit. It's not kind of tapering off already, which is a positive sign for them. Grades time. So Minda, I'll start with you. What grade will you give Snap for Q4 and then also a separate one for 2023 and their performance?
I would say for Q4, I would give it, a B plus. I mean, B it wasn't plus. Great, but they did, okay. They did see, you know, maybe I'm being optimistic, but they did see revenue growth. They did see daily active user growth. So they kind of ended the year on a bit of a better note than they had in the past. For the year though, I would probably say a B minus. Oh. I don't think they're, yeah, I would say the whole, if we look at the whole year, not as impressive. So.
Okay. Jeremy?
This is a bit tricky. I think I would probably give them a B for 2023. And then for the most recent quarter, probably a B minus. You know, like, again, factoring in the fact that Snap is more weighted towards brand marketing, which is a little bit harder to recover. You know, performance marketing dollars are easier to come by these days. But ultimately, you know, like, there are a lot of really strong ambitions and ideas behind the platform. But from an execution standpoint, you know, I certainly don't envy them because it's a challenging landscape for them to compete in right now. But I also kind of wonder, you know, could they be executing a little bit better than they have?
Yeah, that's pretty generous, actually, to be honest, because I mean, their Q4 was plus five. And as I said, it'd been zero before that. And the year on a whole quarter by quarter basis wasn't great for them. But when you zoom out for the year, Snap was flat, 0% growth overall year on year. 2022, they grew 12%. The 2 years before that, they grew closer to 50%. So full year growth, it feels like it's officially stalled, despite showing some promising signs towards the end of last year, 2023. Snap's guidance for Q1 suggests they're expecting pretty decent revenue growth, but only okay subscriber growth. Our forecasting team is expecting a bounce back year, though, for the company for 2024. We'll see. That's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Minda.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jeremy.
Pleasure as always. Thanks.
Yes, indeed. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, and the gang, James, Stuart, and Sophie. Thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Weekly Listen, an eMarketer video podcast made possible by StackAdapt.